Well, as you might have guessed from that song, the theme of today is eating. And we'll get into that in a little bit. We're on week three of our Lenten series, Surprise the World, based on a book by Michael Frost of that same title. And in that book, Frost challenges us to live questionable lives as Christians. Lives that are so different from the world that people wonder, why do they live like that? Why do they act like that? And then we get the opportunity to share because of Jesus. And so we heard last week about the word bless. And the challenge was to bless three people this week. And you might have come up with some wonderful ways to do that. But I want to remind everybody that last week we had a ladder almost as tall as the screen that was covered with 100 prayer shawls. And there was a table covered with all sorts of other things. And now you can see that there's hardly anything left because over 100 people received something from off of that prayer shawl tree, if you want to call it that way. You blessed that many lives. Did anybody else find a way to bless somebody's life this week? You can be bold and brave. Doesn't have to be big. What'd you come up with? Anyone? Okay. Well, that's going to fit right in with this one, eating. All right. Other ways that you found to bless people? Okay, you gave a guy a ride. Meals on Wheels. Again, eating. Boy, you're just, this is great. A drive-by blessing, huh? Took a prayer shawl. That's great. Well, I'm glad that you've been rising to the challenge and thinking about it. It's going to take a little more creativity this week because it's about eating. And with the social distancing and everything with the coronavirus, we're going to have to really put our minds to it and see how we can live out this week's challenge. But remember, there will be a time when this crisis we're in passes. And what Frost's book challenges us to do is to develop habits. So it isn't just for this week that we do one of these things, but it's to develop a habit or a pattern of life so that the way that we live our everyday life becomes questionable and others ask us. So we started off today with the scripture reading of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. And every time I get there, I can't help but sing that song in my head. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I see you shaking your head. And a wee little man was he. You might have learned that years ago as a kid. But the story is rather fascinating because Zacchaeus, this short fellow, has to climb up a tree to see Jesus. He hears Jesus is passing by. He wants to find out about this person who's attracting such large crowds and he's heard such things about. And when Jesus gets to the tree, he looks up at Zacchaeus and he says, "Come on down. I'm going to go to your house today. Let's go have lunch at your place." And the crowd is shocked because Zacchaeus is not the kind of person that you'd expect a holy man to go and visit with. Zacchaeus is hated. He's a chief tax collector, and he also must have some kind of a reputation for not being honest as well. So the crowd is shocked. Why him? But can you imagine how shocked Zacchaeus is? Why me? Why would Jesus come to be with me? to eat and stay at my house. There's power in being together with someone, sharing a meal. And you can probably think of times in your own life when maybe it was an unexpected invitation to eat or to be together. Come on over to my house for supper, or let's go out together, that might have impacted your life. In fact, it might have been the best meal you ever had. If you think about the best meal you ever had, where was it? Was it at some fancy restaurant, or was it at a family gathering? I can tell you what the best meal that I ever had was, and that meal was cream of chicken soup. Probably not up there on people's favorites. Wasn't it at the time either for mine. It was way back when my wife and I were newly married, gone to North Carolina to go to seminary, and it had been a busy fall, and just needed to get away for a little bit. So on the weekend, we went to a state park in the mountains. And we got to our canned goods, and they weren't grandma's stuff. They were probably a can of baked beans or something. Threw it in the car along with the tent and sleeping bags, and we got to set up our campsite. And nearby, we noticed that there was a middle-aged couple that already early in the morning had a fire going and a big pot on the fire. And throughout the day, we walked past several times, and they spent the entire day there just sitting and tending the fire and stirring this pot. And it smelled so good. Finally, around toward supper time, they called to us as we walked by. And they said, "Would you like to eat with us?" And we said, "Sure." Because whatever they had in the pot was a lot better than what we had in the cans back in the car. And so we did. And it was cream of chicken soup, but not, again, something out of a can. This couple lived on a farm near the state park. And they had butchered chickens. And they had gotten fresh cream. And they had made this soup over a wood fire. There's just a little bit of red pepper flake in there. It was divine. The best thing I've ever eaten. And, of course, that was a questionable act. And so, as we were sharing our soup, I said, "Why are you doing this? Thank you so much. I can't believe it. But why are you doing this?" And they shared their story that they lived on a farm nearby, and they make it a habit of once a month coming to the state park. They butcher some chickens. They make this soup. They sit around the fire, tend it all day. Nice bonding time for them. But then they watch the other campers go by, and they pick out who they want to invite. And it just happened to be us that night. And that's what they do every month. Every month they make this meal for somebody that they don't know. And they won't know until that very day. And it just impressed me. I still get hungry, even at this time of the morning, for that soup. But it wasn't just the soup. It was that act of hospitality, that unexpected meal with somebody who would just bless us like that. And they made it a habit, a part of their life. Well, that taught me the power of a meal. But the meal with Jesus did even more for Zacchaeus, because that invitation that Jesus would come to his house, that changed his life. He gave away half of his fortune and said if he cheated anybody, he'd pay him back four times. It changed Zacchaeus' life. So we're challenged this week to develop a habit of eating with other people. And we can probably start by eating together. Eating together with church folks was actually at the heart of the early church. If you look in Acts chapter 2, as soon as the church is formed, as soon as Pentecost comes, then we hear this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. The very beginning of the church finds church people gathering together to eat in their homes and in their worship. And not only were they glad and generous, but the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They lived questionable lives. And their meals together were maybe questionable in the way that they shared. Nobody was left out and nobody went hungry. It's a hallmark of the church. But their meal was also questionable because they broke bread in communion as well. Communion was a part of their worship. Because even when they're breaking bread in their homes, the worship for Christians was in the homes in those early years. Now, it led those who didn't know Jesus to ask a number of questions. In fact, in the Roman times, the Christians were suspect because of their meals. In fact, they were accused of being cannibals because what do we say in our meals? The body of Jesus Christ. This is his body broken for you. This is his blood shed for you. So the rumor went out around the Roman world that Christians were cannibals. And when they got together to share their meals, that they were actually eating people. It made people really question. There's an early report by a fellow named Minicius Felix. And he records a conversation between a Christian and a pagan that he knew. The pagan's name was Cecilius, and the Christian was Octavius. And in this conversation that he records, the pagan says, "You Christians are the worst breed ever to afflict the world. You deserve every punishment you get. Nobody likes you. It'd be better if you and your Jesus had never been born. We hear that you are all cannibals. You eat the flesh of your children in your sacred meals." And Octavius, the Christian, says, "Well, that story is probably based on reports that we share together a meal, the body and blood of Christ. That we do. But it's not human flesh we eat. It is bread and wine we consecrate to commemorate our Lord's death. It amazes me that you give credibility to these rumors." And then he goes on to say, "You Romans cast out children that you don't want out onto the streets, and we Christians take them in and feed them and care for them." And he says, why would we do terrible things like eat children? It's just unbelievable. But even that weird questioning about cannibalism allowed Octavius to share about our faith in Jesus and what we do. So eating together as Christians from the very beginning has led people to ask questions and has led people to Jesus. And here we are sharing communion again, and some people might say, "Why did you go to church? Everybody's hunkering down. Why did you go to church?" Well, one reason we come is so that we can share in this meal and communion today. So, even more questionable, though, than eating with other Christians is when we eat with somebody who is unlikely and unlikable. There was probably no one more unlikely that day than Zacchaeus, who's up in a tree, for Jesus to go to his house. And yet we can be even more shocking if we invite the unlikable, those that we normally would want to eat with, such as our enemies. In Romans chapter 12, we find this. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Who does that? Not the world. But Jesus does. Remember how Jesus ate with the Pharisees who would call for his death. How Jesus would have meals with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus says in Luke 7:38, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. One of the things that got people's attention about Jesus was he was eating with all the wrong kinds of people. Not just the unlikely ones, but also the unlikable ones. So how can we follow in the footsteps of Jesus? How can we be like that and have meals with people that may even be our enemy? I think about the election coming up, and one of the things that shocked me about the last election in 2016 was the stories that I heard of people who refused Thanksgiving invitations or canceled their Thanksgiving dinners and things because they wouldn't sit down and eat with somebody who voted differently from them. Saw families torn apart over it. Friends who said, no, we're not going to go there. People who had differences. They might have even considered each other enemies. And so they stopped having any meal together. How can we be different? How can we be different so that we don't say, I don't like you, so therefore I can't eat with you? We could surprise the world by eating with folks who are unlikely and unlikable. And we can surprise the world by eating with church folks too as well. But notice that the key word is eating with others. It's the with. Whether we're with church folks or whether we're with unlikely and unlikable people, it's the with that makes such a difference. It's great to give people food. I mean, we have Minnesota Food Share, and we'll be doing something called Be the Hope at Easter time, and some of that will help Hastings Family Services, help people to have food. Those kinds of things are great, but it makes such a difference if we're actually eating with somebody. What a difference. Now, again, we're going to have to get creative, but how can we find ways to eat actually with people? Because that does make all the difference. In Mark chapter 6, there is the famous story of the feeding of the 5,000, and I'm going to start at verse 34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? he asked. Go and see. And when they found out, they said, five and two fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number who had eaten was 5,000. Imagine those disciples. When they notice the people have a need, they're hungry. Jesus sends them away so they can go buy something to eat. And Jesus says, no, let's sit down and eat together. They say, that's impossible. How could we? That'd take a half a year's wages, even if we had it. And he says, well, how much do you have? Well, we got five loaves of bread and two fish. And Jesus says, let's have dinner. And they all sat down together, and they all ate. It's amazing what can happen when we put the smallest of meal in Jesus' hands, and we sit down and eat together. And it doesn't need to be fancy. It can be simply some fish and some bread. Or it can be some cream of chicken soup. It's the eating together that's the difference. It's the being together. And of course, that gives us the opportunity as well to share why. Because of Jesus. So Mike Frost's challenge for this week is that we eat with three persons, at least one of whom is not in the church. And I would say maybe even make it even more surprising and go for one person who is either unlikely or unlovable. But we have this coronavirus thing, and some of you may not be getting out and making contacts even with church friends, let alone those who are outside the church. So I want to inspire you to be creative. For one thing, you may be able to gather with a neighbor or a friend. There might be a lonely person who is all by themselves. They haven't been told to self-quarantine. They've lived their life in a quarantine for a long time because nobody visits them. Nobody cares for them. Maybe an invitation to have a meal together. Or another thing you could do is make the invitation even if you don't eat together now. You could even go ahead and support some of the restaurants by buying a gift certificate for that meal. And then let that other person know, I got a gift certificate and I know you're not getting out now, but your name is on it. And we're going to have lunch together when this is all over. Commit to it even now, even if you can't live it out. And you might find some other creative ways to do that. You might invite the neighbors down into your root cellar where you have all your canned goods there and help folks out. Well, I don't know what you'll come up with, but think of ways that you can eat with one another in a way that surprises the world and points to Jesus. That's the challenge for this week. So as we prepare for the week ahead, let us pray and ask for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are so grateful for the food that we eat. And we are thankful for times when we can share it together with our brothers and sisters here at church, or even with strangers in strange places. We thank you for that which nourishes our bodies, and for the friendship and the meal conversation that nourishes our souls, and for Holy Communion that touches our lives. God, we have a challenge before us, but it's doubly challenging because of what we're going through. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be creative, that your Spirit would guide us. Teach us when to make an invitation and when to refrain. And help us, as we may have some good intentions, to find ways to live that out when we're once again able to be together in more public ways. God, you are the source of all that is good. And so we thank you for your goodness, even during this time. And we do remember those who face even great trouble because of the coronavirus. We ask that you would be with them as well as us. In Christ's name, amen.